about IND. Not so much. Let's take a look at the sugya once again, $9 on the base. So, we'll start from the Hatkafa, Rav Shisha Ben Raviti, because really, this is the beginning of the sugya today. So once again, yesterday, what we were looking for were the stages of Taira, and we discovered by a combination, looking at the Dinim of Yoledet, looking at the three separate references that we have for Taira, in which we have Ubo HaShemesh, the Taher, which everybody takes for granted, turns out that that's not the only thing, Ubo HaShemesh, which is, of course, what we call Harib Shemesh. But there's also Rachatz B'Sarol B'Mayim, and then he could eat, as you'll call. And then there's also the Chiper Ale Akleim B'Tahira, which means that there's a carbon that needs to be brought. We see from Yoledet that the case where carbon is to be brought is not another case, because every Yoledet needs to be carbon. And nonetheless, we have two stages that are mentioned by the Yoledet herself. So obviously, there's a stage in which the coin is Mechaper, that's the Nokia Kodesh. But there's also a stage of Ad Melot Yemei Tahara, which is the same thing as the Bo HaShemesh V'Taher, which now makes us understand that when the Torah says that Bo HaShemesh is sufficient for Achilas Truma, it's even sufficient for Achilas Truma in a case where that same person, in order to eat Kachim, is going to need V'Chipera. Then, of course, we have the Rachatz B'Sarol B'Mayim, which it turns out we now ended up figuring out logically where what belongs where, or from the Yukim in the Pasuk, what belongs where, so that the Rochatz Besoro is for Achilas Meiser, the Toval and Harav Shemesh, or the Ad Melos Yemei Tahara, which is the same thing because it's a long Harav Shemesh that takes 40 days or 80 days, that's for Truma, and then the Din of Chiper Aleh HaKohen, that's for Achilas Kodesh. That's what we learned yesterday. The problem that Rav Shisha is raising now is that the way we were learning out the drasha is that we understood that the parsha of Yoledet, Yishlachi Tazvi of Yodah Zachar, is talking about a woman who has access to Truma, and it's teaching us the dinim, among other issues, of when she can eat Truma. Melot Yemei Tahara, she can eat Truma. But the problem is, Matkiv Lor Rav Shisha Brei de Raviti, you cannot understand the parsha in that way. We're now on the bottom here, five lines up. So you cannot learn that the parsha is discussing truma, because Vatanya, we learn in a braita that explains now the meaning of the opening of Parshat Tazria. It says in the Torah Daber al Bnei Yisrael, so says the Sifra, Eli al Bnei Yisrael, how do you know that a Gioret and a Shifcha Mishufreret, that they too have dinim of Tumas Leda, and of course a Kippurim and so on, Minayim, Talmud Lomar, Isha, Ki Tazria. That's why it says now a woman, any woman. Now, Isha Kedaita, the Truma, the way you've come to understand the Pasuk, it's all talking about being able to eat Truma. Ad Melot Yemei Tahara. But the introduction is Bedavka telling us that we're talking about women who don't eat Truma. Because how in the world could a Giyoret or a Shivcha be Benot Mechal Trumanino? Where would they come to eat Truma? This is the question. Hey, Benot Mechal Trumanino, they can eat Truma. Now, Tosis points out that, of course, this would have to be going not like we had one report from Shimon before, that if she's less than 3 years old, then it wouldn't be a problem. So then, as long as she was Gayeret or Mishuferet, from a point in which it's not possible to call her a Zoma, so why not? Why wouldn't she be able to eat Truma? She married, she's not also the Kohen, she married a Kohen. Why can't it be talking about that she had a child from a Kohen? The whole thing is. Okay, so clearly we're talking about over here that there's a psul biklal. Maybe turn it off. Sabajash is not doing well there. Just turn off the thing. We'll turn on the. We'll close the window. Thanks. Okay. All right, back you go. Right, gonna have to get some good piece of lighting too. All right, but we're assuming that that's the halacha. So then I don't understand. Says Rav Shisha Ben Raviti, the pasuk cannot be talking about truma. Oh my Rav, what are you trying to tell me? What you're arguing, you think that this is an issue that's up for discussion. The law, we're not talking about Truma. Come on. The continuation, the whole parsha is talking about Truma. That's where it says, Shloshim Yom, Shloshim Yomim, Teshevet Me Torah, Bechol Kodesh Lo Tigad. Instead of a Kodesh, Bechol Kodesh, we're going to dash it, we'll see later on. The Bechol Kodesh is telling me all Kodesh, including Truma, which is called Kodesh, that even that Lo Tigad, the Rabota to Truma. So we're definitely talking about Truma. You got a problem with that? So then you'll have to understand that the entire pasuk from the beginning is mila mila kafashit. Basically, we're running through this on multiple levels, as the Torah often does. In terms of the din of tumas leila, there's a halacha of isha ki tazriya, doesn't matter, yoret, shivcha, that's not the point. It doesn't mean only b'nai Yisrael. Fine. What about among that set of women who are shayach to tumas leila, those who are shayach to achilas truma? Fine. We talk about the shloshim yom and the shloshim yamim and adim lo yamei Torah. For those that it's not relevant, it's not relevant. It doesn't mean that the entire set of women that we're talking about necessarily have to be the ones we're addressing in the Chol Kodesh Lo Tigah. Not to mention the fact, and this is another way of understanding the whole sugya of mili mili, not to mention the fact that there's a problem on the surface in that we're not talking about eating truma. It's the Chol Kodesh Lo Tigah, which Bapashta seems to mean negiah. Certainly negiah is not, I mean, that has nothing to do whether she's ruia for the truma or not. So it's true that later on in the sugya we're going to prove that the Chol Kodesh Lo Tigah cannot mean touching, really. It must also be merames to achila. Okay, but that's a level of understanding that requires now a recognition of the implications of the drasha. That this is the only thing that it can mean in terms of what it's addressing to us on the level of the Loshon HaTorah. But on a simple way of reading the pasuk, it's mealy mealy in terms of being multi-leveled. We're talking about the question of a giyoret or a shivcha who is tmeya touching truma. We're not talking about eating truma. That's a different way of understanding mealy mealy. So again, the pasuk's mealy mealy is we introduce a set and then we talk about from among the set. But there's a more clever way of understanding that mealy mealy means what we would call miflasim miflasim. There's different levels of meaning. But we're clearly talking about, as Rava said, we're clearly talking about the Chol Kodesh Lo Tigah. There's no way to argue with me about whether we're talking about truma. Yes, we're talking about achilas truma. Now, you're worried about the drasha? Figure it out. Mili, mili. Now, but now it turns out that we have three separate psukim telling me the same thing. I don't understand this. We had the kachim lo yochal ad asher yitaher. That's got to be talking about the dinim of truma, which we've already discussed. Then we've got the other pasuk that we talked about, the ish, remember we said that it has to be anybody, the zera aron, we said, the dover hashava b'chol zaron, shal aron, we just darshan, that's got to be referring to truma. So that's also talking about, that whole pasuk is talking about truma. Then we had the famous pasuk, the ba'a shemesh v'taher, which can only be talking about truma. And then we have the pasuk by the yoledet, which is ad malot yimei Torah, which we use to prove it's talking about truma. Why do I need three separate psukim to tell me the same thing? Oh, tzricha. Let's say that we only would have had ad asher yita. What would that mean? Lo havi yadana b'mai. Do we know what level the Torah means by ad asher? We have to wait until it becomes tahar. It becomes tahar by doing what? Therefore it says, ba shemesh v'taher. Now, if it would have said, ba shemesh v'taher, without telling me the parsh of Yoledes of Adi Malot Yimei Torah, then I would have said, okay, true, but only in a case where it's not a bar kapara. In other words, in a case where someone is a zav, not a zav goda, or a zav gedela. As Rabbi Shmuel said, pasuk can't be referring to somebody who is chayav in a karban. The whole pasuk is referring to someone who's similar to Tumas Meis. I, it says mitzera, that means mitzera muzka. I, it says a zav, that's a zav bal shteirias, and so on. That's how he understood the whole pasuk of ish ish. So maybe over there, Ba Hashemesh V'Taher, but how do we know that even where there's a chiyav that's unavoidable, such as by the case of Yoledes, where there's going to definitely have to be a kapara, that even there, Ba Hashemesh V'Taher would be enough? Therefore comes along the bar kapara. I would have said, Ema Adamaiti kapara. You have to wait until the kapara, which is why the Torah says, by the Yoledet, Ad Malot Yumei Torah. Now let's say, he says, okay, but so now that's clear. I mean, that's the ultimate case. Say that case. Say the one case of Yoledet. And then I'll know. There's two levels. And then there's the other level of Ad Malot Yumei Torah. And now I know everything. Why do I need the other psukim? For a very simple reason. If you read through Parshas Tazria, you are shocked to discover that as a naive reader, you would have been led to think that you don't need tefillah. The pasuk doesn't say a word about her going to the mikveh. All it says is that she's coming 7 days, and then all blood that she sees after the 7 days is tahar. Like, okay, magic. The Torah has now decided that she's got a tumah for 7 days. That tumah disappears, despite the fact that she's, I mean, it's crazy anyway. The woman continues to bleed, and we're saying it doesn't make any difference. That dam is tahar. So maybe it's crazy in the sense of not requiring tefillah b'chlal. The same way the Torah was Matayr, the very same Dan that was Matameir. Now the Torah is being Matayr. It takes the Isha, it was previously Tamei, and now it's Matayr. Where does it say anything about Tvul Yom? It just says about Melot Yom. What's that do with Tvila? Therefore, I wouldn't be able to know anything. I haven't been below Tvila. Katab Rachmana Ad Asher Yitar. That's why we now need to say, okay, that's not going to be sufficient. You're going to also have to tell me the halacha of actually going now and being mitzaher. Did the Achronim discuss why then couldn't we do without the idea of Ubar Shemesh V'taher? Is not Melot Yimetara the equivalent of Ubar Shemesh V'taher? You can understand yourself approaches in that, why I wouldn't have known that from there. Now, this is all based on the way that the Tanna Devei Rabbi Yishmael understood the pasuk is referring to Ish V'hutza Ruah Zav. That means not requiring a kapara, and not only that the kapara indeed would have nothing to do with truma. That's the whole point. But amazingly, there's a Tana who insists it's exactly the opposite. There is the Tana, the Poligale, the Tana of Rabbi Yishmael, and he says that on the contrary, the pasuk is talking about a zav, a zav is about shalosh rios. Tzorua is a tzorua mitzorah mukhalat, okay? In which case, the meaning of the word in that context of ish ad asheitar means, obviously it's not going to help him until he's mitzahir totally. Mitzahir totally is ad asher yavik kapara. It's the ton of Rabbi Yishmael said, no, it wouldn't be referring to the need of a kapara b'chlal. So now it turns out that can't be referring to truma, because we already saw that ad malot yumei Torah is sufficient without v'chiper alei ha-kohen. The pasuk before says she can eat Kodesh, as soon as Melot Yemei Torah. And B'chol Kodesh Lo Tiga, only Ad Melot Yemei Torah, correct? So now if I look back in the Pasuk of Ish, and I discover Hutsa Ruah Ozav, and therefore requires a Kapara, nonetheless it says there, he better not eat Kodesh until he's Nitar. That's got to mean Kodesh, not Truma. So according to this, we've got two Psukim that are talking about Kodeshim, the way he's understanding it. Because the Kiper Alea HaKohen V'Tahera is a reference to Kodesh Mamish, as we saw yesterday, because the Truma was already kosher immediately after Melot Yemei Torah. And now we've got this other pasuk of Ish, which is talking about Tzorua or Zav that require Kapara and requires Tahara. It's saying the same thing. Why do I need this pasuk then, the way he's understanding it? Trei Krei B'Kodeshim Lomali. Ah, very interesting idea. Something that had never occurred to us before. Tzrivi. Because we take for granted coming now after all of the experience with these drashot, we know what the halacha is, a tzarua and a zav and a yoled, and so we know what the dinim are, and we have our classifications, and we take for granted those classifications as are natural. What's the difference between a yoled and a mitzora? So we have a general rule of tumah yotzel of mimimad migufo, we have a tamim mishkavu moshav, we use the Rambam setup of the halacha, so it's very clear what's what. But again, suppose we were naive readers of the Torah, and we wouldn't have known all those categories. So, would we not have thought that Yoledes is unique? I mean, we come to a part where all of a sudden somebody has a din of a Tfulas Yom for 40 days, for 80 days, just Matami for so long, 14 days, Matami. This is like a whole new world, right? So, let's say the Torah would have said the Parsha of Yoledes. Sure, okay, I understand the Yoledes. Too cold?
Kohen business.
Kohen business. Exactly. Kohanim, by the way, remember, have problems with chills. They're special doctors for Kohanim. You remember, it's with the feet on the floor, the special doctors, the Beis Hamikdash. I mean, maybe what we could do is have a little Beis Hamikdash behind where we can warm up and come back in as practice. Right. So I would have said, okay, look, we've got a whole new idea. I mean, to wait 80 days. Did anybody ever hear of it? To wait 80 days to eat truma rekachim? It's outrageous. So maybe there we have a whole new halacha. But a zav, a simple zav, I don't know. Who's to say that the zav would require necessarily to have the kapara and so on in order to be able to eat kodesh emelo? On the other hand, suppose the Torah would have told us the din of zav and not told us the din of yoledes, v'chiper alea akarein v'tahira. So what would I have thought? I would have said, okay, a zav, no tar michlalo. What, the Torah never says, okay, but you know, there's times you don't have to worry about zivas. So such thing. Zav sees zivas, the zivas always going to pass on him. He's counting, he became Torah already, he'll become Tommy again. So, I watch hypnosis going right into motion. It's amazing to see. So, let's say it would have said Zav, I would have said, okay, Zav is a Tommy, shalom, tar michlalo. Yoledes is magic. Yolenis, the Torah says, even though she's still being Roya Dam, it's not a problem, it's Yimeteyar. So then, maybe Enachinami? You don't need necessarily to have, under those circumstances, that the Kohen necessarily has to bring the Korban. The Korban is not negated to Tyra. The Korban is just a halacha of a kapora, a Korban Nachshon. Kamash Malanda, no, in order to eat Kachim, says the Tyra, v'chipera olea ha-Kohen v'tahira. So now we know, afterwards, that Yoletis and Azov are the same. But think about how you would have read it if you didn't know this halacha. Therefore, we need both Sukkim to tell me that these two categories indeed are the same when it comes to Kachim. Now, but what about the din that is said in a completely different context in terms of sheretz? We're going to talk about all of these two. What about a sheretz that falls into a tanur and all that, that whole sugya? So it says over there, Kol Asher Yipololav Mehem V'Motam, it talks about the Shmona Shratzim, and there too it says, V'Tamei Ad Ha'arev V'Taher. So right, even though it's B'Mayim Yuva, so there was already a tefillah, took a keli, put it in a mikvah. It's not going to be enough. It has to be Uba Shemesh over there, Ad Ha'arev, it's there. Why do we need another pasuk to tell me Ad Ha'arev? Omer Bizeru, what do you mean? That's not talking about a person, that's talking about a kli. Now, suppose you would have had all of these pasukim about people. You may well have thought that the idea over there is eating truma, eating kachin. How about touching truma, touching kachin? Is that an issue? Well, kalim don't eat, and nonetheless it's an issue. So that means that the Torah defines for us also the concept of negiah here, which otherwise I wouldn't have known. But certainly the din, that, the psukim that we were eating before, is in terms of eating. Achar yochal me'akodashim, it's a mefarish. Afterwards you can eat. I'm not sure you can over here, it's obviously not eating. So once we understand the din of the kli, we now understand that there's also the equivalent in Mayan Adam. Don't think that a tefu yom can touch truma and not affect it. The tefu yom who touches truma ruins it. And that's the same way that the kli ruins it. That's what I need it for. Detail. Vitamei. It says over here, B'mayim Yuva, and nonetheless, Vitamei Ad Ha'arev. So that means even after B'mayim Yuva, Vitamei Ad Ha'arev, right? Wow. So, if that's the case, you would think Yochel Lakol. I mean, Vitamei means across the board, it's Tamei for everything. Oh, no. Talmud Lomar Vitaher. It doesn't say Yitaher, it doesn't say Vitahera. It says Vitaher, and that implies that there was a level of Tahara all along. Now, which one is it? Eve Taher, Yochel Lakol. Tamil Lomar Vitamei. I mean, is it Tamei or is it Tahor in this interim state? Huh. Must be that there's two states. There's the state of B'mayim Yuva, and there's a Taher associated with that, but nonetheless, it's still Tamei. Kan Lamaaser, Kan Letruma. So therefore comes to tell me over here at Dinam Negia that when it comes to Maaser, okay, there's the same halacha of Negia b'Maaser Sheni, that it's less chomer than Negia b'Truma, so that a Tful Yom has no problem with Maaser and will not be Matame Maaser, but a Tful Yom will be Matame Truma. We see two stages in Negia. How do you know it's in that direction, v'Epuchana? Why not turn around backwards? Now, it's a little strange thing, turning around backwards, when we already proved that it's the truma that was more chomer legavi the achila. Why would I think it's turned around backwards all of a sudden? Until we had the same question yesterday. And we showed the difference between maaser sheni and truma, that it's the truma that is going to be the one that's more chomer to be also for the tefuyot. So what's the hava mina now that when it comes to negia, we should invert it? Well, I mean, there's a lot of discussion about why we should have had such a havamin in the achronim, but one very interesting point is that when it comes to the din of the onesh, remember that there's the strange reversal between truma and maaser sheni. Because as we said before, that by truma we have only an isra say, whereas by maaser sheni we actually have a lav. So there is something that indicates we go in another direction. So when it comes to the level of truma, you're 100% right. But when it comes to the Isurim of how to handle things, indeed it's the other way around. Meiser is more karma than truma. Once that's true already, it may well be in terms of the dinim of Negiya. Meiser is more karma than truma. So we've already seen that element. That's a very beautiful approach. It's something that Gemara Menachem makes sense. Good. So Mistavra, says the Gemara, nonetheless, ki ech the chamir achilo de truma me achilo de maaser, since we've already proven that Lamaisa, the dinim of Achila, of Truma Mor Chomer, and that you need to have not only the coming into the Mayim itself, Rachatz Vesarov, the Mayim is not enough, you also need Uba Shemesh. It also makes sense. Achinami Chamir Negiyah de Truma Negiyah de Maaser, and the Havamina, okay, we understand it's Havamina, but this is the bigger sfar.
The Mayim Duba,
in which case? Yeah. Raman Yuva is Negia, because it's talking about a Kli. That's the parsha of Shuatzim. Sheretz falls on a Kli, is Matame a Kli. Now you want to use this Kli for putting Truma into it. Raman Yuva, but nonetheless, Matame Adara. Will be Matame Truma. Correct. This is how we learn out, indeed, that the Bechusa Kippurim being a Sheni is Matame Truma to make a Shlish. It's possible to make a Shlish. Or I'll talk, the truth is we have a pasuk that makes it very clear that negia of truma is usur by a tvuyo. Negia de truma miyachan afta. We could learn it out back from the parsha of Yoledet. B'chol kodesh lo tiga ve'el amigdash lo tavo ad melot yumei tohora. What does it mean when it says b'chol kodesh lo tiga? That is an azor aloch. Means she cannot eat truma. Huh? It says b'chol kodesh lo tiga. How do you know it doesn't mean lo tiga? Talmud Omar v'chol kodesh lo tiga v'la migdash lo tavo. Now that means that it's comparing two completely different sets of Yisurin. One of Knisa lo migdash, and the other one of Negia b'kodesh. Okay? So, makish kodesh lo migdash. If the migdash that it's referring to over here is chayef karet, because it says over there, v'nichratakit migdash Hashem t'meh, so that means Knisa lo migdash involves a netilat nishama, kritat nishama. So Av Kodesh, the Isra of Yerbachol Kodesh Lotiga, has got to be talking about an Isra Kodesh Yesh Bo Netilat Neshama. And the halacha is, the only place we find is Umetubo Ki Echalaluhu. That Umetubo Ki Echalaluhu is referring to Achilas, it says Beferich. Therefore, Negiah, wherever it says Negiah, never says a word about Chiyav Misa. There's only an Isra. So if it says over here, a Chiyav of Netilat Neshama, Kores or Misa, can't be referring to Negiah. It's got to be referring to Achila. Therefore, so you'll ask me, so why is it saying Negiah? That we'll talk about in a moment. But therefore, we understand that the Chol Kodesh Lo Tiga, one level, is a reference to the dinim of Achila's Truma. So, Dover Sheshbonis, there's no ever finding a case in which we have more than a lav when it comes to contact. So, why then, I'd ask you, Belashim Negiah, why then did the Torah use the word Negiah? Oh, to tell me Negiah ka Achila. That whoever is Asur Ba'Achila Truma is also Asur Ba'Negiah Truma. And therefore, there's no confusing this with the dinim of Maaser Sheni. Because over here it's talking about the requirement for the Arboim Yom, the Shmonim Yom. We already saw Brachatz B'Saro B'Mayim is sufficient to take care of Maaser Sheni. I don't know, you guys just don't seem to be excited by this brilliant, brilliant series of drushes and so on. One of the most exciting things of Yevamos is the language it. Penetrate. That's interesting because it introduces us to the Torah Tkanim. Rabbi Yochanan got all excited right as we're about to start the drush as well as those psukim. Maybe that's why they put it in. See? Look how excited he was. He was ready to read the whole thing through from cover to cover. 3 days is better than Harry Potter. So then he goes ahead now. Okay, it takes 3 months to understand it. So, fine, you're Daf Yomi. It takes 3 days to learn. It's yet 3 pages of all of these drushes. Now it takes a couple of months here and there to understand.
Why all the Tanimamot?
Yeah, we've discussed it many times, and we'll talk about it more at the end. Okay, so you can all be happy if you weren't excited about the drushes. We're getting on to the next piece. The next piece of the Mishnah. She begins talking about the din. The din of Petzuah Daka. So that din of Petzuah Daka now raises an interesting issue, because it says over there, Imlo Yad'a. So if he hadn't now had relations with her after the time that he suffered his injury, then she still continues to be Ochelas V'Truma, and he hasn't possibled her. But wait a minute, what about the old problem of Hamishtamerit L'Biyah P'sula? She's sitting here, she's married to a guy, at any minute he could sleep with her. I thought that was a whole problem we had before about whether Kiddushin possibles because of Hamishtamerit L'Biyah P'sula. Says the Gemara, gosh, I mean, this obviously is a man Yomar, who is saying that Mishtamerit L'Biyah P'sula is not a problem, at least you could say at least B'Nirayis, I mean, but it's saying on some level she's eating a lo pasla. Who is the Tana of this Mishnah that clearly implies that a Mishtamerit L'Biyah P'sula D'Oraita is Aklan? This whole little piece is a review, because the truth is we spoke about this Mishnah earlier in the discussions of the previous Sugya. But let's once again go over it. Amar Rav Elazar. Well, basically it's B'machloket Shnuyah. It's part of the old Sugya that we had before, back on Daf Nun Vav. And indeed, it's the tzad of Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, who argue with Rabbi Meir, and Rabbi Meir says Mishtamerit L'Biyah P'sula is no good. They hold that it is okay. It's clearly this mission's got to be going like this. Says the Gemara, says Rabbi Yochanan, not true. And we had this Rabbi Yochanan earlier. Says Rabbi Yochanan, field them Rabbi Meir. Why can't it be going even according to Rabbi Meir? Shiny Akasha Kvar Akhla? Look, I mean, in the case where you're talking about where the woman is now psula really to the Kodesh, I'm one of the Kohen Gadol, and she's a Bas Yisroel. You want her to be able to start eating now from the very Kohen who's going to possibly, her if he sleeps with her, that's outrageous. That's Mishtamer to be a psula. But a woman who's been with her husband for the past 40 years has been eating Truma. All of a sudden he has an injury that turns him into Psula Daka. Now he's not allowed to sleep with her. No? So she should lose her schus before anything happens. Where do we get a din of Mishtamer to be a psula under those circumstances? Rebbe Loza says, what's this Kfar Akhla? What's it got to do with anything? Fact is, there's no more schus. This Baal has to be Ma'achila B'Truma. And he is basically the same guy that would passel her if he acts as a Baal. So what's the difference if she already ate? Who ever heard of such a Svara? With that kind of Svara, you could say that a Bat Yisrael, I mean, the Elote Ma'achim, if you don't agree with me, that her previous state is not definitive in terms of Achilles Truma, and you claim that it is. Okay, so then any Bat Yisrael who marries a Kohen, and the Kohen dies, say, well, Kfar Akhla, let her keep eating. That's what you're saying over here. The Baal can't be Machaler, so what? Let her keep eating. The Torah says, but she can't keep eating. I understand why you're coming off to say such a thing. So Bat Yisrael, she said, the Kohen made Baal, what? Tochal? Kfar Akhla? She's been eating for 40 years. So just because her husband happened to get up and die, she's got to stop eating Truma? Rabbi Yochanan says, well, that's no comparison. Where the Baal dies, he no longer has a kinyan in her. That's the whole Mishnah that says the Konah Tatsma. So she's Konah, he's got no more kinyan. How's he being Machzor without kinyan? But over here, because he becomes a Tzuatak, he has no more kinyan. So what are you going to say? Ah, yeah, but I mean, a kinyan like that is going to be Machzor, which is Mishnah. The kinyan's over. She already became now an Ochelet Truma. What puzzled her? The fact that she's not married? Of course she's married. Elamai, what's going to puzzle her that she's Nivellis? She wasn't Nivellis. So where'd you come up with an idea that, well, she could be Nivellis. She could be a Mumer also, but she isn't. So what? No problem, says Rabbi Yochanan. So Altam, Paka Kinyana, Tat Kinyane, Hachalo Paka Kinyane. Okay, so again, there's a review, the sugi we had earlier. Now, we never defined what precisely is a Psuadaka. The truth is, it doesn't even say in the Torah what it's referring to. I mean, how do we know what Psuadaka is? If somebody got a smashed nose. It doesn't say what is Patsua. So that we're going to get to. Well, let's first start with the halachas, then we'll get to the psukim. Turn around. Ezeu b'tzu'a daka. What is the Torah referring to with the b'tzu'a daka? We're talking about koshin niftzu'u beitzim, shalom, afilo achat. So someone whose testicles were injured, Rashi brings over here, niftzu'u, is like petza tachat petza, which over there in context was talking about a puncture wound of, they're talking about knives, or a cherev. Okay, that's b'tzu'a. They're saying petza would be any type of petza. We'll see that it has to be a petza that affects reproductive capacity. And we're going to prove that in a moment. Even if it's only one testicle that was affected. Even if it's basically just a hole in the testicle, was it sliced through? Even if, because of illness, a testicle atrophied. And even if there was just a tiny bit that may have been missing. This, of course, becomes a major problem for doing biopsies on testicles. According to this, afilu chasru would be a whole problem of biopsies. And we're going to talk about it. Rabbi Shah has a whole shuva based on this Gemara that is coming up. So keep that in mind. If a child, congenitally, this is what most Rishonim learn, that we're talking about a congenital situation, in which he doesn't have one testicle, or it was an undescended testicle. As far as we see, there is no testicle here at all. He's not called a Petsuadat. He is called a Sris Chama. Now we're going to prove later on that congenital, or act of God, so to speak, that causes some type of reaction in the body, which is not an actual physical event that affects the testicle directly, is not considered to be a Petsuadat or a Krushovcha. So a Saris Chama, which literally means someone who had a fever which destroyed, made him sterile. So let's say a child has mumps. And Chas V'Shalom comes out now with a ruined reproductive capacity because of it. That doesn't possible anything. Even if the testicles atrophied, doesn't possible anything. This person says, Rabbi Shmuel, but not Rabbi Yochanan Broka, born with only one testicle, is a Saris Chama. He's kosher. Saris Chama? But what are you talking about? The word Saris Chama means Chama, means There was a fever, there was a sickness. I mean, you're talking about there's some kind of congenital, genetic defect, maybe. I mean, he doesn't have a testicle. It certainly can't mean it's Rizchama. Of course, I don't mean literally. I mean, we have all categories, we'll see later on, of types of events that can cause what otherwise, if it were caused by human intervention, an iser tzuadaka, whereas if it's caused because of an event in the hands of God, it's not considered to be. We'll see where we get this from later. Okay. Asks the Gemara, you listed the case of Nikev. Are you trying to tell me that Nikev lo molid? Now, from here, and from the sugya later on today, Rav Moshe brings a raya in that famous tshuva that the Gemara takes for granted that a betzua daka's reproductive capacity is unaffected is not a betzua daka by definition, because otherwise, what did I ever say anything about lo molid? I never said anything about lo molid. I said shechoser, I said shenike. So that means that we're taking for granted that the Torah is only answering betzua daka. We'll see later on why we would take such a thing for granted in terms of defining what a betzua daka is. But in any event, it's clearly important to define whether molid or not. Therefore, Tainas Rav Meish, if you're talking about, and even though we're about to have a case of the Gemara, which we'll see, we're talking about cases where a doctor is involved who knows what he's doing and is certainly not going to cause damage in taking a biopsy or even in operating or removing part of a testicle, taking out a growth or whatever, that would certainly not be included. We're talking about just random events. There we have to assume that if somebody's injured, that the likelihood of that injury being as careful as a physician's intervention is so tiny, we can assume that he would not be molid. That's how he's machal. Right, that's what we're talking about. Who gavet the salak l'tikva? This is Gufa, Rav Meshes Raya, is from the case. There was a guy who had climbed up a tree, a palm tree, which, as you know, has some vicious thorns. Oh, boy, did he get it, man. Right in the beitzim. He was punctured right through his beitzim. Not only that, it was clear that he was really punctured through because there was a leakage of prostate fluid. And immediately, like all over the place, it was clear that he was like really hurt. And he had children. Sure he had children. As Shmuel sent a message to Rav, find out who the father is. Save Chazer al Banav Me'ayin and try to find out whose kids there are, because they sure ain't his kids.
I say check the palm tree on it.
So that means, again, Tainas Rav Meish, I mean, what is this supposed to mean? Because this is going to determine that the guy, I mean, the children must be mamzerim. I mean, it's taking pretty far. So you see, says Rav Meish, that the point over here is the overwhelming likelihood that that type of injury is not something that is equivalent to somebody who's carefully, who may be taking a sample from an actual puncture, who's trying to find sperm cells or something in order to help a fertility issue. He's going to say, so he made a hole in the testicles. He removed the same fluid that leaked out of this guy. What is this comparison between the cases? Therefore, he went ahead. It was matir, indeed, all of these cases of medical intervention, which lechora are causing etzia and nekiva and chisur. It's not nogea in these cases, because it's clear from the whole sugya that it's only where it's going to affect holada, and this is not affecting holada.
One testicle case we had just before, that's considered a series.
No, it would. In other words, this testicle would be affected in terms of holada. Well, we're going to get to the one testicle issues as we're coming along. This is very, very nogea. I mean, you often have atrophied testicles where kids, they were undescended testicles. As adults, they have children, but they have children because of one testicle. The other one is atrophied. There, too, the question is, there's also some fascinating, because what often happens with an atrophied testicle is that it gets cancerous, there's problems, then it needs removal.
That's why they remove
them. They remove them. So the shaila is, then you've got not a Suis Chaman, because then it was removed, and now you have a Suis Adam. But the question is whether an already kosher atrophy testicle is going to become any more of a kutz or a saurus if it's removed, and that's where it's nogea, but he could still be meilid because of the other testicle. Halacha lamaisa, in these cases, we do not pasul, and they're surprisingly common, we do not pasul to a daka where there was an original sris chama because of atrophication or some other semen. We don't pasul because of an additional operation that now has to remove the testicle. So
no harm, no foul.
Mm-hmm.
No harm, no foul. It's already
right. Yeah, but I mean, also there's a lot of discussion with Truvis and along the Deiris about this issue. But that's how we come out paskening, and then everybody basically has accepted that psak, and we rely on. Omer of Yehuda, Omer Shmuel.
In this case, the Rav changes opinion,
because he said they were not there. Yeah, Shmuel is the doctor. Shmuel is the one who said, find out who the father is.
So the outcome was that they changed their mind that he couldn't give birth.
That's what he was saying. There's again a lot of discussion among the Achrona. Does this mean Vadai Mamzerim? We should Pesachic Mamzerim? What level of statistics are we talking about, and so on? But he's saying, yeah, you better find out who it is. Truth is, I mean, the other kasha is, if Shmuel is worried about the yichus of the children, and he holds that there's a Vadai problem, then why wasn't he mafrish the woman from her husband?
Right.
That seems to be that actually no. What he's talking about is a chumra legabe yichus, but not to be motzi yishami ba'alam. Again, all of these types of issues need to be dealt with. Mamish in very, very unfortunately real circumstances. These type of injuries are not all that rare. And kichas v'shalom, if it creates a situation where you have to motzi yishami ba'alam, or types of illnesses where there's medical intervention that can affect the reproductive system, various cancers. It's easy to conceive where you've got problems with that, that's all you need to cause not only the cancer, the problem, and the terror, but to destroy a family in which a man can no longer remain married to his wife. It's a horrific situation. All types of ways to try to find a tarim about these things are—it's one of these bayot ku'uvot that is up there with the issues of the missing husbands and mamzerus and so on and so forth. It's a very, very painful kind of situation. Ptsuadak. So comes along the owner of Yom Hashmul. Ptsuadak bidei shamayim kasher. Something that happens bidei shamayim is what we mean by a sris chama. Omar Rava, that's the meaning of the pasuk. You'll notice the pasuk mentions lo yavo pitzua, not ha pitzua. In other words, that which was in a state of a man who is a pitzua, but rather one who was patzuat. So in other words, it was an event. Once I see that it's not congenital, and that congenital is not called a pitzua daka, I take for granted that if that's the case, it means that a situation that is part of nature, as opposed to something that happens as an accident through interaction with people and things and so on, that means anything that would be natural is not considered to be pitzua. It's considered to be the equivalent of ha-pitzua. That's the point. So we see over here that something that is natural, and by the way, there's discussions about fascinating discussions about the Rambam, clearly Paskins, so later on issues of reactions that are anaphylactic reactions that cause actually atrophy just from fear. He talks about a sris kama that could come from thunder. Is that considered just thunder, bora, or is that considered? So again, some learn, well, that means he was hit by lightning. That's an act of God. But I mean, his own reaction, the guy wants to go crazy. You know, no, the halakha is in fact that in cases like that where we're talking about reactions to things are considered to be sris kama. So they're fun. Okay, so in any event, that Idarshan says, Rava, Mama, you see that in the pasuk, Hapatsua. Bimatnita tan, the bride explains it differently. The basis of the drasha is like this. It says, Lo yavo, pitsuada ka chrushavcha bekalashem. And the next pasuk is, Lo yavo mamzer bekalashem. Right? Now, just like mamzers, you can only make mamzers bidei Adam. You can't make mamzers bidei Shemayim. I mean, nobody was born as a mamzer unless it was through human agency, obviously, right? I mean, we only know of one like that. They made him a god.
He's
a real mamzer. So, malahalam bidei Adam, afkan bidei Adam. Omar Rava, but you have to understand that krus, we have here really three different words, pitzua, krus, and dak. Dak means cut. Krus means cut. Dak means crushed. Ptsua means injured. The truth is that it doesn't really matter what is what. It's not that there's specifically issues of, well, if you're talking about the testicles, it's only ptsua. If you're talking about the penis, it's only if it's krus. That's not the point. All three elements, we'll see that we also include over here, the ves is included in this, so that if there's a cut through even the Rambam learns, that's what it's talking about over here, the chute beitzu. Is a reference to what the Rambam calls the Shvil Shazera Midbashel Sham. So it's on its way through the glands where it picks up additional material to become semen. But that's also considered to be a Betsua. So it could be either Betsua, Krut, so on and so forth. So in all three cases, you could have either Betsua, Krut, or Dak. That's what it means. So the Lashon of Krut is Bekulam, Betsua is Bekulam, and it doesn't matter. Dak is Bekulam. So whether you're talking about the effect on the penis, or you're talking about shenivtzu beitzim, or you're talking about shenivtzu chutei beitzim, although there are some machlokes about how far we would include chutei beitzim, even in terms of support of the testicle and the scrotum, whether that's considered to be damaged. Rambam learns it's dafka, reproductive elements that are important over here. So it doesn't matter what it is, it's all the same. So the dach is bekulam also. Benchen nidach hagid, nitku beitzim, nitku chutei beitzim, which of course is used for sterilization. Clamping the vest also can cause sterilization, which would be dach, cutting, which would be karut. So all of these cases, the same thing, karut exactly the same, nichrat hagid, nichratu beitzim, nichratu chutei beitzim, it doesn't really matter. Now, one of the Talmidim asked Rava, how do you know that Betsua Daka has anything to do with genitals? You'd like to take it for granted. Betsua Daka, where does it say? Who says it's about Domakom? Who says it has to do with genitals at all? Maybe it means a guy who's got a smashed head. His name is Nirosho. No, but just take a look. Every other pasuk in the list over here. So you have Betsua Daka. So you've got Mamzer, you've got Moavi and Ammoni and Mitzri and Adomi. Every single one of the case talks about future generations. Kam Dora Siri, or Dora Shlishi Avoin. There's only one where it conspicuously doesn't mention his children for some strange reason. And that's the case of the Betsua Daka. Now this is Rav Moshe, again, if that's the Raya. So then clearly we're talking once again about an indication that has to do specifically with Dorot. And therefore, Shema Minah B'yoto Makom, it has to do with Genesis, and it has to do with genitals. V'dilma, Hagelo Mona, I can give you a very simple reason about why it doesn't say Doros, my dear friend. Because it's not genetic. That's the point. Doros is where there's a problem. There's something wrong with the guy that's going to affect his children. What in the world does an injury have to do with his children? What is this, Lamarckism? I mean, clearly that's the difference. The Torah is telling you an injury doesn't affect Doros. But a problem of incest or where you come from genetically, obviously genetics is genetics. But injuries is not genetics. From here we have a riot against Lamarck, straight up. Where it takes it for granted that events are not going to affect Doros. My father's atzal used to bring the clearest raya against Lamarckism. Says, you've got thousands of years of Jews coming around and cutting off foreskins, and they keep being born with them. Why did anybody ask them that? Okay, so if that's the case, it's clearly talking about something in which there's no effect on Doros. You can't bring a riot from there that's talking about something that would affect Doros because it's genital, but not genetic. That's crazy. Once you're accepting that it has to do with Genesis, then it doesn't have to do with genitals. So, Dilma Adar Amon about Doros, the Ehu, the Aser, Bray, Brar, Bray, or Kosher. Oh, that's the point. All right, so I'll give you another reason for assuming it's genitals. It says Krut Shofcha. I would certainly assume a Shofcha is a penis, right? So if the Shofcha part is genital, so then the Betsua Daka must also be referring to the same issue. So it's Afainami Boto Makom. Wait a minute. Who told you exactly that a Krut Shofcha is a penis? I mean, there's a lot of things in the body that drip. I mean, maybe the guy's got a busted nose, or maybe he's got a problem in his lips. Now, who's to say that it's genital? I don't understand you. Krut Shofcha Gufei. It means from his lips. It says shavcha. I mean, shavcha is b'makom sheshofech. I mean, from your lips. I mean, you don't leak from your lips. You spit from your lips. I mean, here we're talking about something that is just dripping out. Your lips hold in things that drip. I mean, generally drip from your lips. Okay, your nose. You got a runny nose. So it's talking about over here. Krut shavcha. The guy had somebody punched him in the nose. Now he's a petsua daka. He's a krut shavcha. Look at that nose. It's dripping all over the place. No, wait a minute. Krut shavcha. It doesn't say bishafuch karut. It doesn't say the place that leaks is now cut. It says the cut that makes it leak. That's the point. So if it would have said, if he has shafuch karut, so you'll say, well, his nose, which is shofech, is karut. So that's a problem. If it's krut shafcha, you're talking about an organ that generally would be able to shoot, and now it leaks. That's the point. So it's shofech and shotate. The mish al yedei krita shofech, shelo al yedei krita ino shofech el mikaleach. That is only one place in the body which, if it's cut, is going to be dripping, but if it isn't cut, is going to be shooting. And therefore, it's got to be talking about genitals. Lafuki hide, the edivini shofech. The nose is always going to be shofech, whether it's cut or it's not cut. You got a runny nose, you got a runny nose. That's a shofech. And it's not krut, the shofech is karut. It's krut shofcha. Okay, so therefore, the context is clearly a genital context. B'matnita tana, Raita says from another source. If it says lo yavo betzua daka, and it says lo yavo mamzer, It's referring to the same type of sugya, you see. The mamzer comes from genitals. So, mal alam otom makom, al kan otom makom. Fine. Now, we talk about nikev. Nikev, the din of nikev, which would be the problem over here, nikev lamata miatara, shekinegdo lamala miatara. Now, we got a little bit of a problem. We said before that as long as you're talking about miatara vilamata, so in other words, from the ridged area of the penis and down, which is towards the ground, away from the body, not a problem. However, that ridge is not even. There's one place where it extends towards the body, one place where it goes away from the body. Suppose there's a nekev that is in one place lamala miatara and the other place lamata miatara. So over there, Sava Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba lakshure. He thought that that should be kosher. Because since both of the hole goes straight through, both sides are not lamala miatara, towards the body. You have partially lamata miatara. We said before, lamata miatara is not called gid, it's called basar. So it doesn't, we don't view it as being important. So he thought, okay, so over here too, we have nishtayer minatara, melo achud, it's on its so forth, should be kosher. The impact, at least on that side, would be kosher. Omele Rabbi Asi, it's not true. Hochi Omele Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Atara kosher. Even if you pass the hole through the atara, even though it's just on one side of the atara, it would still be makeva to prevent him from marrying.
So unknown is
the application. Hmm? Unknown
tomorrow,
unknown. We don't know what do you mean. It
says
asa krochav kalyumi. Well, it's the one that's ahead of the air. Does it say what word? But it certainly makes a problem for penis rings.
Ouch.
Ouch. The imni, not really, because it doesn't puncture, just the person.
Oh, it's not a puncture.
Right, it's not really joking. Imni shtayer miatara. Okay, so we said as long as we have miatara vilamata, klapi karka, that is still okay. And shtayer miatara vilamala, there's a little bit that's still left. That's fine. So yosu ravina v'kami boile. It says meloachut, as long as there's enough left of the atara, meloachut. Is that meloachut apne kula? Or alpne ruba, when we say melo achut. You're talking about a complete encircling of the atara, even though all that's left is a tiny chut, or is it just mostly? Omar le rova, tosfala ravina, melo achut would be alpne ruba, veklape resha. You would have to have now the melo achut. Melo achut would be sufficient if it was even ruba, and that's not correct. The correct Rosh's Gears is al pnei kula, and this is how we bring it lalocha. So that's a pretty big Gears change.
This isser.
Yeah.
Is even if you already have children, correct?
Yeah. It's nothing to do with. It's,
not like
we're defining the isser through using reproductive elements, but it has nothing to do with the fact of not being able to reproduce. As we were speaking before, what about one testicle and so on?
It's prepared, and also.
Oh, that's also another shayla. How about healing? And that's also a big question because there are gemaras that imply that something that can be healed is not included. Mm-hmm. It's compared to the dinim of treifas and so on. Right. The same type of issue. A lot of issues that are compared in the dinim of kroshavta to the dinim of treifas in terms of repairs. Actually, in Chulin, in this case, Omer Avuna. As a matter of fact, one of the cases in Chulin is a fantastic kasha, which the Achronim ask, that it says over here, how do I know it doesn't mean he's got a hole in his head? Right? Maybe it means dilim b'reish. So the raya is from the fact that it's talking about reproduction. But the Gemara in Chulin talks about the case where the guy was bashed in his head, and Shmuel said this mazmez reisha d'dein, which the Gemara says means that it's affected his reproduction. Then you're back to the original kasha. Fantastic question. Again, there's a lot of achronim in that question. Okay, Omer Avuna. This is Avuna. Now we've been talking about the straight out cut, or straight out puncture, straight out missing something. Okay, how about plastic penile surgery? Okay, so somebody is interested in having a really sharp looking penis. He wants to make a kukulus. So now this guy has been cut, and now is like a kumus is like a pen. Right? So now that means that basically skin was shaved away, reducing the surface. Well, obviously, it doesn't mean the guy necessarily wanted it this way, but this is what happened to him. So if he's shaped like a kumus, so there's no, he's basically no area in which there would be an open space for bacteria to get in or for there to be any type of infection, that would be kasher. But kimarzev, If, however, there was a hollowing out that allows penetration into the penile tissue itself, then it's possible.
So I'm not talking about birth defect. Born this way, because we're saying before, we said born before the ejaculation line, it's not considered critical.
Correct. Correct. Hi, Sholit Ba'avira. I know Sholit Ba'avira. What we have to look at is exposure. So exposure, that's the point. I mean, you don't really have anything that directly affects the reproductive capability. Especially the question of how things look. Who cares? But if you have Kemar Zev, which would be like an open gutter pipe, so that there's now an indentation that has been caused, that indentation exposes now more tissue to outside air, increases the surface area. It's possible that because of that, you're going to have a problem. And therefore, it could be that it's going to Lo Shalit Ba'avira. Rashi learns this Lo Shalit Ba'avira in the same sort of way that the Rambam learns the Shvili Hazera Mitbashel. We have immature sperm cells, mature sperm. We need a certain level of heat for that maturation, says Rashi, that process. Maybe a marzev doesn't keep things warm enough. Now, that's not a very good physical description, but the other way of avira, generally, we talk about shalit avira in wounds, where it's exposed to the outside, exposed to the elements, and therefore causes problems. And we find that again, Megabe, the dinim of inchulin of trefas, and shalit ba'avira, like in the lungs, is low shalit ba'avira, therefore we don't consider certain things to be problems. Other areas that are shalit ba'avira, we do consider. So it can often mean something very different than Rashi's before. It may well be the meaning over here. Rav Chisda says just the opposite. A kemar zev is kshera. A kakumas is psula, and I'll tell you why. High gorid, high low gorid. If you have basically shaped down the outside area of the penis, you've affected the nerve endings. If you affect the nerve endings, you are not going to get sufficient sexual stimulation, and therefore you're not going to have enough of an ejaculative force, and that's the problem here. So gorid would be... prurient in English. Prurient is gorid. Right? It's very interesting. So it really means tickled, right? It means nerve endings are activated. We use that to mean the dirty part of sex. It's prurient, but it actually means tickled or tantalizing or titillating would be the way. Prurient. That's what the Supreme Court's Hagdara of what's considered to be pornography, if there's an interest other than prurience. No, it's not. If the whole tachlis is prurience, then it's pornography. No, fine. I have to say, it's amazing. We use the same word, but not in a prurient way, obviously. So the gorid means that the nerve endings are specifically rubbed against. Gorid is to be rubbed against. And therefore, if it's kemar zeves, it doesn't affect nerve endings, and therefore he will be able to ejaculate properly. Masha enken over here, it's low gorid. Omar Rava Kavasi to Ravuna Mistava. I think it's more reasonable. Ravuna says, Hai lo shalit ba'avira, v'hai shalit ba'avira. What bothers you now? Giriduta, well, you're worried about the level of stimulation. It's not an issue. I mean, Midinavia bars at the chavita. Look, I mean, the base of the penis is intact. You can get enough. You have like a berez on a barrel. So berez on a barrel, the part that's plugged into the barrel is wide, and then you have the control that opens it. And then you have a thin spout. So over here you got a thin spout and a big barrel. What's the difference? That's enough. That works fine. Omalei Ravina Lamarei Marochim Amazut Mishmet Rav Papa. The halacha is Bein Kekumas, Bein Kemarzev is kosher. But, even though he said that, he wasn't sure whether we were talking about shaping that takes place Lamata Amiatara or Lamala Amiatara. What? That doesn't make any sense. I thought we said as long as you have Kemalor Achut, it doesn't make any difference. It's got to be now lamala miyatara. If it was lamata miyatara, again lamata miyatara, not the way it's used in English. It means towards the ground, person standing. So lamata miyatara from the point of the ridge skin, and now what we would call upwards towards the tip, but downwards in the Gemara, lamata miyatara can't be a problem because how can you say isar tak lamata miyatara? You'll nichrata kidam. We said even if you would cut off the entire area, it wouldn't make any difference. So what's the nafkamina if you shape it now? Kakumos, Kamar Zev. That's ridiculous. It was ridiculous.
Just checking.
Ravina was just checking. Ravina, the Shibushi, the Maremar with the boy. I mean, he wanted to see whether Maremar was on his toes. So he said, yeah, but you know, I mean, he passed it, but he wasn't sure. And wanted to see whether he's going to get outraged. What are you talking about? And again, the Rambam brings this as examples of it's mutter for a Rav to mislead a Talmud just to keep him on his toes. This would be one of those cases. We're going to confuse you, Shibushi. Yeah. Let's see if you can work it out.
Last time we had it was Barry Kiva with the girl at the tree. Why do you always think it was sexual?